It's February 12th, and this is the Civil War Podcast. It was on this day in 1809 that Abraham Lincoln was born. I make no attempt to summarize Lincoln's life and legacy in a short podcast. Future podcasts will examine his family, friends, and actions in more detail. But on this, his birthday, I thought it would be interesting to discuss Lincoln's early boyhood and its effect on his later philosophy. He was born in Hardin County, Kentucky, to Nancy Hanks and Thomas Lincoln, and was named for his paternal grandfather. Thomas Lincoln was originally from Virginia. His antecedents were Quakers and Puritans who had wandered down from New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and Thomas Lincoln inherited both their anti-slavery views and their peripatetic tendencies. The Lincoln family would move from Kentucky to Indiana and finally to Illinois. Lincoln himself dismissed discussion of his youth, saying, quote, "It is a great piece of folly to attempt to make anything out of my early life. It can all be condensed into a single sentence, and that sentence you will find in Gray's Elegy, quote, the short and simple annals of the poor," end quote. His father had built the one-room dirt-floor cabin in which Abraham was born, and 9 years later, father and son together built the coffin in which the mother was buried. She was not forgotten. Nancy Hanks shared not only her physical traits with her young son, but also her emotional ones. She was known as a sweet and tolerant woman. Quote Lincoln, "God bless my mother. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to her." His mother had taught him his letters, but it was his beloved stepmother, Sarah Bush Lincoln, who insisted he attend school. Through her encouragement, he became an avid reader and autodidact. His later law study consisted entirely of reading books and commentaries, and he earned a reputation for cross-examinations and closing arguments despite being entirely self-taught. He was noted for his physical strength and stature, but he had a distaste for manual labor from an early age. He tried farming, rail splitting, transport, and storekeeping before eventually settling into law and politics. He enlisted for the Black Hawk War in 1832, but saw no action. In his telling of it, all the blood he lost was to mosquitoes, and all his charges were against wild onion beds. It was at this time that he won his first election. His comrades named him captain of their company. He made his first run for public office soon after, inaugurating his career in politics. His law partner, William Herndon, commented, "That man who thinks that Lincoln sat calmly down and gathered his robes about him, waiting for the people to call him, has a very erroneous knowledge of Lincoln. He was always calculating and always planning ahead. His ambition was a little engine that knew no rest." The first campaign was for the Illinois General Assembly. For his stump speech, he stood on a box at a county auction. "Gentlemen and fellow citizens, I presume you all know who I am. I am humble Abraham Lincoln. I have been solicited by many friends to become a candidate for the legislature. My politics are short and sweet, like the old woman's dance. If elected, I shall be thankful. If not, it will be all the same." He ran 8th in the field of 13, but received 277 of 300 votes in his precinct. Lincoln later won election to the U.S. House of Representatives and the Illinois House of Representatives, and ran unsuccessfully in other state elections. With each campaign, he built his reputation and attracted new friends and allies. Prior to giving that first stump speech in Illinois, he had to step into the crowd to break up a fight. This seemed to foreshadow his future elections. "It is a little singular that I, who am not a vindictive man, should have always been before the people for election and canvasses marked for their bitterness," he said. America in the 1840s and 1850s was a volatile, adolescent country. Expansion, immigration, sectionalism, and industrialization caused seismic shifts in the political landscape. As a moderate with anti-slavery beliefs, Lincoln questioned where he belonged in the party system. Quote, "I think I am a Whig, but others say there are no Whigs, and that I am an abolitionist. I am not a know-nothing, that is certain." But while parties came and went, his political philosophy remained fixed. He was a believer in a free government devoted to equality, which would permit its citizens to rise as far as their efforts would take him, just as he had. He was a strong believer in a constitutional federalism. Quote, "Without the Constitution and the Union, we could not have attained the result, but even these are not the primary cause of our great prosperity. There is something back of these, entwining itself more closely about the human heart. That something is the principle of liberty to all, the principle that clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and, by consequence, enterprise and industry to all." He believed that the United States was a national community, the American people, he often said, rather than an agglomeration of independent states. To Lincoln, secession was unlawful, and a seceding state threatened to, quote, "ruin all which is larger than itself." It was for these emotional and political reasons that he reminded the South, in his first inaugural, of his solemn duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Quote, "The declared purpose of the Union, that it will constitutionally defend and maintain itself." He clung to his lifelong philosophies of unionism, meritocracy, equality, and humanity throughout the 4 long years of war, and lived just long enough to see the rays of hope that his cause would succeed. In his second inaugural speech, delivered a month before the war's end and his own sudden death, he aspired to put a swift end to the conflict and reconcile the divided Union with a plea for humanity. "Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." You've been listening to the Civil War Podcast, a weekly podcast researched, written, and read by Aaron McGuire, with music by Tom Nagy. Thank you for listening.